John F. Kennedy Library President's Office Files. Presidential Recordings Collection. Tape number 63. There are no excisions. For additional information, please see recording log number 63.
But the point that I want to make and leave clearly in your mind is that this process of determining what you're actually going to use to land on the moon and exactly what specific guidance equipment goes in it is a continuing process that's a partnership arrangement between the contractor and the government. There's no other way anybody's figured out to do it. And we will be making changes in it as we go along. The tendency for the contractor is to do a more expensive job. And it's a very hard management job to hold this in line. And the kind of crash program that would be required if we tried to push this thing forward 6 months and do it in early 67 instead of late 67, I think would make us vulnerable to a good many pressures along this line we wouldn't have. I think we'll have a more orderly, better managed program. We'll define these projects and do a much better job of management of the program under the schedule of late 67.
Now, let me just ask a couple of questions again. On this McDonnell, supposedly strict limits been set against overtime, were they talking about work on the Phantom, or are they actually, have there been any cutbacks in overtime work on Mercury and Gemini at McDonnell? They have there.
Yes, sir. There has been.
They weren't doing much overtime work anyway, though, were they?
Well, they were doing an average of 15%, and now they're down around 3%.
Let me explain, because this is not just what you'd call a normal kind of a cutback on account of money. In this project, the tendency of the technical people is to do everything looking forward to the lunar landing as soon as possible in order to learn the most from it, so that you've got more time to learn from Gemini. Now, actually, we could do the Gemini flights maybe, as you will see from this chart, 4 months earlier than we have on our project schedule. On the other hand, we've looked very carefully with the Bureau of the Budget at the possibility of delaying it for a longer period to defer the expenditures. What we've done is come with a program in that top line that we believe gives us the information at a time it would be most useful to us and is the most reasonable schedule considering all factors. Now, McDonnell has phased out its engineering on the Phantom. And while they've got a lot of production work to do on the Phantom, they've got engineers. A large number of engineers they'd like to put to work, so they say, why don't we speed up here? We've got resources. They also have in mind that if they can speed this up and make the flight, they might sell some of these vehicles to the Air Force. They have every reason for wanting to speed it up on our money. We feel in the prudent management of our money, what we have is the program that's best fitted for us. So we have, now, I went out to McDonnell 10 days ago myself, sat out with McDonnell and all 15 of his people. He was then saying, I want to spend $25 million a month on this program. I said $16 million a month is all you can spend, and we're going to judge you on the cost of this project as well as the technical efficiency. So there's that difference between $25 million he'd like to spend and $16 million we've allocated.
And now the Gemini is slipped how much?
Well, first unmanned.
You can't. And this word slip is a wrong word.
All right, in other words.
Yeah.
I don't know what it
before. First unmanned.
Summer of 60.
suspend the normal apportionment rule, which governs the spreading of funds that have been appropriated by the Congress over the full year, and without waiting for the supplemental, which probably couldn't be enacted until next March or April, starting today, to order them to spend at a rate which assumes that the supplemental will be enacted.
Yeah, that's because we can't get a supplemental.
Well, that's the only way the schedule could be managed.
Well, that's right. That we run our prison funds before the end of the
year. That would move the opportunity. What is the significance? Let's say you get that thing, everything moved ahead a third of the year. How does that later affect your
I'll give you the next chart, the lunar landing, and show you the effect on that. The effect that this would have is somewhat hard to determine, because if everything went the way we anticipated in the design of our Apollo, probably had very little effect on the Apollo. But if we found by these one-week missions, you see, things that we don't now think are going to happen, such as, adverse effects from zero gravity, the leak, or anything like this, it might affect the design of the Apollo. Everything going well, I would say that, other than given its experience, it wouldn't particularly affect this schedule, which is affected in itself, however, because of the need for funds. And that schedule, if I go on to that one, shows, once again, this schedule, which is without the supplemental funds, and it shows the first manned flight February of 65 in the Apollo.
Around the Earth.
Around the Earth oval, right.
Okay, so that will be, what will that be?
The Apollo vehicle.
Three man module, Apollo service, three man.
And around the world as long as you more or less.
Yes, you could certainly go up to a week if you wanted to. It'll have 2 weeks capacity. Now, with a supplemental funding, our scheduled dates would have shown that it was here in December of 64 for the first manned flight. Instead of here, February 65. First lunar landing, we can go over to that, which would use a larger vehicle, would move from May of 67 by our estimates to October of 67.
Now, to move it to May of 67 instead of October, how much would we estimate when you'd have to spend in addition between now and then? How much this year and how much?
$440 million, roughly, for 63, you mentioned.
Yes, 427, something like that. So $400 plus million for 67. And in both of these schedules, it's estimated that the funding level for the following years would be just the same. In other words, both of these have an estimate between $3.5 and $4 billion for each of the succeeding years.
You used the wrong year. It's $427 million for 1963 as a supplemental, and it assumes the $6.2 billion for 1964.
Of which 4.6 is for the man lunar landing.
Can you tell us what the breakdown between Apollo and Gemini is in that 420? Because I gather you say Gemini may not be in Apollo.
Gemini is about 80 million of the 400.
So it doesn't make a big difference.
Well, now, in other words, the question is, can you put it simply to say that with the $440 million, we are taking out, we're not assuring, we're taking out insurance, that we will not have a 6-month slip, is that the...
I would say that you were taking out some insurance against the slip, provided you could obligate the money now. But the problem that we face is that even if you gave the director of the budget the authority to waive his normal allocation rules, and we obligated this fund, and then we come into next year and don't get the money, we've got a terrific dislocation of a massive effort that involves many people all over the United States.
There's also a question whether you really could make an action security finding on this,
right? What do you mean?
The Added Efficiency Act is very strict in its...
Well, I think what you have to do is get the key members of Congress involved. If you're going to do it, we'd have to make up our mind and get them in.
Yeah.
Find out what they want to do.
But the problem that we would face would be one of judgment of what would really happen if we, say, lost $100 million out of that deficiency. Suppose Congress didn't give us all of it. And we'd have to be going through the Congress twice next year at a time when we are trying to get these contractors and everybody else to tighten up and to recognize cost. And,
but, Jim, you would say that you agree with the argument that for $440 million, you save 6 months?
I don't say you'd save 6 months. When it comes to Apollo, I doubt very much if it would expedite the landing. This is my personal opinion. I think that you would be shoving the work into the first part of the period. and you would learn more from it. You'd have some insurance of making the landing in late 67 or 68 that you didn't otherwise have. But I think also the cranking up of an effort that involves thousands and thousands of people over here running on the basis over 5 years with assurance all the way along the line of the kind of decisions you're going to make and not going up and down and having a lot of confusion about it might also have a real effect on when we make the landing and the success we have in it.
So is your view that with the $440 million, you probably, your judgment is you won't really save any time, is that correct?
In the lunar landing, I doubt very much if we'd save much time. You can schedule it, you can go through the PERT system. Bob Siemens will say, yes, we will very likely save from 4 to 6 months, but from a general overall look at how these big programs run, I doubt if we'd save very much time. Now, Bob, I think you ought to say your own view, because you're the operating head of this operation.
I think I essentially agree with you, Jim, that you can schedule 6 months earlier, but you have to understand what these dates really are. These are dates for the internal management of the projects. They have to be dates that people believe are realistic. I mean, you have to have a fighting chance to achieve these dates, but they're by no means dates that you can absolutely guarantee at this time, because this is a development program, and you are learning as you go along. And if you crank up too much of a crash program and you start running into trouble, it can take more time to unsort the difficulty than if it is a better paced program.
That's a better way to state what I was trying to state. I think we can do in an orderly way what we've scheduled. I think the other will provide quite a series of crises in the course of it, which we'll settle, but which will, in a sense, put your attention on the crisis at the moment rather than on a five-year program run in a way that gets us the most amount of money and makes the best record of what you can do in this kind of big technological
area. President, I think one way of looking at it is just proceed down the assumption that you do not meet any unexpected obstacles. This is an assumption which, from experience, we know is not completely accurate. In Mercury, for example, we started scheduling, as I recall, 18 or 24 months. We actually made our mission in 39 months. Why the delay? There were two principal factors. One was a structural problem in the thin-skinned atlas that took 6 or 8 months to resolve. Another was a failure in a transistor in a guidance system that caused us to blow up one of these vehicles and save the capsule all right. But these two experiences, which you don't foresee in your schedule, are the things that stretch it out. And this is one reason we do not like to see a public commitment that we're going to land in 67. Public commitment is we'll do it for the end of the decade. For purposes of keeping the heat and pressure on, you schedule it just as tight as you can.
Right. And if you notice, this Gemini scheduled on the other chart is about as tight a schedule that's ever been put together. You see, there's one unmanned suborbital flight, and then the next flight's got 2 minutes. Now, this is quite a commitment to make.
And that is, even this one here, the top one, is 26 months from the date we initiated the program.
The only reason you could do that is because Gemini is a scale-up Mercury. You've had the Mercury background. So
right.
You have some confidence that if you check out the system, that you can proceed immediately to the men. If we're totally new, I don't think you would dare say you're going to do the man on the second flight.
Well, there is such a short...
cost-conscious about these things, and we have this in a driving effort. I would worry about saying to industry, just get going, money is no object. Because you can add not this $427 billion, but you can add vast sums beyond it. We've got to make industry conscious of cost here. We have been along at these large increases and have fought tooth and toenail with these people. I've created a little group of five top executives, every one of whom have earned $100,000 a year, right around my own office. I've got them as roaming people out, looking at these things to see whether their judgment as managers of large affairs is that what's going on is good. I'm personally going out. So Brainerd and Bob, Hugh is spending some time at this. We've got a real job to do to make this thing come out without a scandal. Now, I think one of our greatest vulnerabilities in the next Congress lies in two directions. Mr. Truman always told me as budget director never to give him the political judgment. To give him the facts, he'd make the political judgment. I think as the agency head, I can talk a little bit of the political factor with you. The first one is that the aerospace industry has excess capacity. The Boeing company, Mr. Allen, came to me and said that whereas we are scheduling 3,900 men at work on the first stage of the Saturn at the Michoud plant, which is part of this Apollo program, he was prepared to put 7,000 men on it right away, for the earliest possible time, if we really wanted to move that advanced Saturn as fast as it could be moved. Now, this is the kind of telescoping into the early years of tremendous cost that would not make our budget $6 billion to $6.2 billion, but would make it 7 or 7.5. I think we'll get a better job with 4,000 Boeing people on that first stage than 7,000, you see? Now, this runs all the way through. I gave you the McDonald figures. If he scales out his engineers on the Phantom, he would sure like to put them on Gemini because he's got a chance to sell that all around to the Air Force and others, make a great record earlier for himself, and he retains these engineers for any possibility that might come along, you see? Now, the second point I want to make to you, beyond this excess capacity in the aerospace industry, which our program just simply can't absorb. We aren't big enough to absorb that, as big as we are. The second point I want to make is that the success we've had in the Congress has not been because, as Jerry sometimes says to me, just wave space at Congress and they give you $1 billion. It's because we've really worked hard at understanding how to move forward with Congress. Now, in the case of the Senate committee, Senator Curry has had an absolute rule with his committee. He would not report out a bill until he got unanimity in the committee. If we put him on the line for a deficiency, then he is not in that position at all. He's got to get that deficiency through, and he's got to make whatever kind of arrangements, even without a unanimous vote. Up to now, we've had a unanimous vote in the Senate committee and in the House committee. And on a roll call vote in the House, a unanimous roll call vote for this vote. This makes it a bipartisan program. Now, second, in other words, the tactics that have been employed would have to change. Second, I think our greatest vulnerability is not a change of tactics, but an attack that will be made on us because of these increased costs. We're working as hard as we can to be in good position there. But there isn't any way to avoid the fact that having moved as fast as we have, I think we've made fewer mistakes than most programs have made, but we have made some. And some of the programs that we inherited, every major program we've got except Apollo and Gemini were funded and started some of the place and transferred to us. In the case of the Centaur, we've got a, shall I use the word loudly in the captain room, Jerry?
We've got a sorry record in the government and an even worse one with the
Centaur.
But we moved to straighten it out. When Werner von Braun took the step of writing a letter to Congress saying that he thought this ought to be canceled, I jerked it out from under him in 3 days and put it up at Abe Silverstein in Cleveland. Now, this is the kind of thing we're having to do here to straighten out things that otherwise are going to cause us trouble. What I want to do with Centaur is get it in such good shape by about next February or March that when Congress says, look at this terrible record, we say, don't look at the record, look at what we're doing now. Now, we've got that kind of situation in these excess costs.
What's the matter with Centaur?
Well, there are lots of things that have caused us trouble. First, now that our own group at Huntsville nor the contractor recognized certain aerodynamic requirements which were known at the time. In other words, the contractor himself built a vehicle that wouldn't stand the pressure of the advanced speed.
Well, actually, it was a basic problem here. This is our first attempt to use the hydrogen oxygen.
I'm coming to that.
And I think they underestimated how tough it was going to be by a factor of three.
That's the second part. You see, every upper stage of all of our big vehicles is based on using liquid hydrogen as the fuel. You've got to store this, pump it, and burn it at minus 423 degrees.
What contribution is the Centaur going to make? What are you going to get out of Centaur?
Well, the first thing we're going to get out of it is a 50% reduction in the cost of our planetary shots. We can do the planetary shots with the Centaur for about $25 million, 15 of which is for the spacecraft and $10 million for the Centaur. If we use the Saturn with a changed upper stage, it costs us $50 million, $35 million for the Saturn. Now, this is where we're fighting for, but more than anything, maybe you ought to speak on this, we want to lick the problem of using liquid hydrogen as a fuel in this small vehicle without having to do it in the big vehicles, which are now beginning to come off the production line. Douglas has already delivered the first unit of the Saturn S4B stage, which is now on the way to Huntsville for test.
Now, let me just get back to this. What is your your view is we ought to spend this $440 million?
My view is if we constructively spend, it would accelerate the Apollo schedule, if sir. Let me say, I very sorry about this. I had no disagreement with Mr. Webb. He said the policy. All I think my job is to say how fast I think we can go for what dollars.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's fair to say one other thing, Mr. President, that after your visit, when you were saying how important this was, the speech you made, I think Brainerd and Warner Von Braun and Gil Ruth all felt, well, if we've got to find out how fast we can move here. The president wants to move. So they went to the contractors and said, how fast can you move, boys, if money were not a limit? Now, this sort of got cranked up into a feeling that this money was going to be made available, that a policy decision had already been made to ask for the supplemental. And I think to a certain extent then, the magazines like Time had picked this up and wanted to make a controversy.
Yeah, I at least here, it isn't so much that we wanted to speed it up, it's the question of how much we're going to slip. You don't like that word, but that's what we're talking about.
Well, I don't think so. The reason I don't like the word is that those schedules were never approved by Dryden Siemens and me. They were not officially scheduled flights in the agency, but they were tagged in the schedule in order to ask the contractors how much they could do for Brainerd to really get moving. When he came into this problem,
these dates, are you saying that these dates were not ever set?
They were not officially set by me or Dryden.
What dates were set?
We were waiting to determine what the budget director was going to give us on the 64th budget to definitely set our dates. Because this made a vast difference.
But you mean what part of 67 was never set?
Well, the 67th date has been set, and we're going to make it.
What part of 67 was never set? Is that correct?
Well, we've talked all the time of late 67 or early 68.
They never set a budget.
That's right.
So now, when we talk about $400 million, well, now then tell me what's happened here. You had a date in your mind which, unless you get the $400 million, you feel there's a good chance it will go back to the end of about 6 months. Mr. Webb says that there was never a date in 67.
What happens this, I think? First of all, we didn't have a defense size program. We hadn't even decided what size the booster would be, for instance, at the very end of last year. So as soon as we could, we definitized all the elements of the program. But then still, until one decides the mission, which you're going to go, you couldn't interleave these schedules. You couldn't decide really
tracking network, involved ground support equipment for handling the capsule on the ground, checkout equipment. We were learning with Mercury. We kept adding new elements and new revisions to the cost, so that it did wind up. Mercury cost $500 million. All told, $2.25 for each person in the United States, 75 cents a year for 3 years, if you want to look at it that way. And there's no question that the cost went up. So, now, in this analysis, the number of man hours and years has been spent. And working up these numbers is just fantastic compared with the corresponding figures on Mercury.
We know a great deal more.
I think this is a much sounder basis. I would be surprised if the cost went up by three.
I'd be surprised if it went up more than 50%. That's still a lot of money.
Well, let me make a statement on that that I have made to the budget director. You remember when I first talked to you about this program, and the first statement I made to Congress was that the lunar program would cost between $20 and $40 billion. Now, I'm able to say right now it's going to be under the $20 billion, under the lower limit that we use. The question is how rapidly you spend the money and how efficiently you manage this so as to get the most possible for the money. This can be speeded up at the expense of certain things which I've outlined in the letter to you. It can be slowed up if a year from now we find that we don't have to proceed at this basis. But this is a good, sound, solid program that will keep all of the governmental agencies and the contractors and the rest moving ahead. But we're prepared to move if you really want to put it on a fresh basis.
You put this program, I think this program is the top priority program of the agency?
No, sir, I do not. I think it is one of the top priority programs, but I think it's very important to recognize here that as you have found what you could do with the rocket, as you found how you could get it beyond the Earth's atmosphere and into space and make measurements, several scientific disciplines that are very powerful have begun to converge on this area.
You know, I think it is the top priority. I think we ought to have that very clear. Some of these other programs can slip 6 months or 9 months and nothing particularly is going to happen. It's going to, but this is important for political reasons, international political reasons, and for this is, whether we like it or not, an intense race. If we get second to the moon, it's nice, but it's like being second any time. So that and if we're second by 6 months, because we didn't give it the kind of priority, then of course that'd be very serious. So I think we have to take the view this is the top priority of it.
But the environment of space is where you're going to operate the Apollo and where you're going to do the landing.
I know all these other things and the satellite, the communications and weather and all. They're desirable, but they can wait for
I'm not putting those. I'm talking now about the scientific program to understand the space environment within which you've got to fly Apollo and make your landing.
Now, is that saying that the lunar program, the land, the man, and the moon, is the top priority of the agency, is it?
And the science that goes with it.
Well, yes, if you add that.
No, but I mean, the science
that is necessary. Yeah.
The science, going to the moon is a top priority project. Now, there are a lot of related scientific information and developments that will come from that, which are important. But the whole thrust of the agency, in my opinion, is the lunar program. The rest of it can wait 6 or 9 months.
Well, the trouble that Jerry told us, let me say one thing, and then maybe you want to reinforce it. The thing that that troubles me here about making such a flat statement as that is, number one, there are real unknowns as to whether man can live under the weightless condition and you'll ever make the lunar landing. This is one kind of political vulnerability I'd like to avoid such a flat commitment to. If you say you fail on your number one priority, this is something to think about. Now, the second point is that as we can go out and make measurements in space by being physically able to get there, the scientific work feeds the technology and the engineers begin to make better spacecraft. That gives you a better instrument and a better chance to go out and learn more. Now, right now, all through our universities, some of the brilliant, able scientists are recognizing this and beginning to get into this area, and you are generating here on a national basis an intellectual effort of the highest order of magnitude that I've seen develop in this country in the years I've been fooling around with national policy. Now, to them, there is a real question. The people that are going to furnish the brainwork, the real brainwork that on which the future space power of this nation for 2,500 years is going to be based, have got some doubts about it. And the other part
doesn't,
as to whether the actual landing on the moon is what you call the highest priority.
They think the highest priority is to understand the environment and the areas of the laws of nature that operate out there as they apply backwards into space. You could say it this way, I think. And Jerry ought to talk about this rather than me. But the scientists in the nuclear field have penetrated right into the most minute areas, the nucleus and the subparticles of the nucleus. Now, here out in the universe, you've got the same general kind of a structure, but you can do it on a massive universal scale.
I agree that we're interested in, but we can wait 6 months and all that.
But you have to use that information.
That's what they're saying, yeah, but only when that information directly applies to the program. Jim, I think we've got to have that.
I don't think Jim understands some of the scientific problems that are associated with landing on the moon, and this is what Dave Bell was trying to say, and I'm trying to say. We don't know a damn thing about the surface of the moon, and we're making the wildest guesses about how we're going to land on the moon. And we could get a terrible disaster from putting something down on the surface of the moon that's very different than we think it is. And the scientific programs that find us that information have to have the highest priority, but they are associated with a lunar program. The scientific programs that aren't associated with the lunar program can have any priority we please to give them.
Could I just say that I agree with what you say, Jerry, that we must gather a wide variety of scientific data in order to carry out the lunar mission. For example, we must know what conditions we'll find on the lunar surface. That's the reason that we are proceeding with Centaur in order to get the Surveyor unmanned spacecraft to the moon in time. That it could affect the design of the Apollo.
Yeah, the other thing is, I would certainly not favor spending $6 or $7 billion to find out about space, no matter how on the schedule we're doing. I'd spell it out over a 5-10 year period. Because if we could spend it on, why are we spending $7 million on getting fresh water from salt water when we're spending $7 billion to find out about space? But so obviously you wouldn't put it on that priority, except for the defense implications. And the second point is the fact that the Soviet Union made this a test of the system. So that's why we're doing it. So I think we've got to take the view that this is the key program, and the rest of it, God, so that we can find out about it, but there's a lot of things we want to find out about.
But you see,
when
you talk about this, it's very hard to draw a line between what
I
mean,
everything that we do ought to really be tied into getting onto the moon and ahead of the Russians.
Why can't it be tied to preeminence in space, which are your own
matter? Because, by God, we've been telling everybody we're preeminent in space. 5 years, nobody believes us because they have the booster and the satellite. We know all about the number of satellites we put out, the 2 or 3 times the number of the Soviet Union. We're ahead scientifically. It's like that instrument you've got at Stanford, which is costing us $125 million, and everybody tells me that we're the number one in the world. And what is it? I can't even think of it. That's wonderful, but nobody knows anything about it.
Let me say it slightly different. The advanced Saturn is 85 times as powerful as the Atlas. Now, we are building a tremendous giant rocket with an index number of 85 if you give the Atlas 1. Now, the Russians have had a booster that would lift 14,000 pounds into orbit. They've been very efficient and capable in it. The kind of things I'm talking about that give you preeminence in space are what permit you to make either that Russian booster or the advanced Saturn better than any others. A range of progress.
Well, the progress really isn't really so much different. Now, the only thing I did, we're not going to sell the $400 million this morning. I want to take a look and talk to Dave Bell, but I do think we ought to get it really clear that the policy ought to be that this is the top priority program of the agency and one of the two, except for defense, the top priority of the United States government. I think that's the condition we ought to take. Now, this may not change anything about that schedule, but at least we ought to be clear. Otherwise, we shouldn't be spending this kind of money because I'm not that interested in space. I think it's good. I think we ought to know about it. We're ready to spend reasonable amounts of money. But we're talking about these fantastic expenditures, which wreck our budget, and all these other domestic programs. And the only justification for it, in my opinion, to do it in this countdown fashion is because we hope to beat them and demonstrate that starting behind it, we did by a couple of years. By God, we passed them. I think it's been a hell of a run for us.
I'd like to have more time to talk about that because there's a wide public sentiment coming along in this country for preeminence in space.
You can't prove your preeminence unless this is the way to prove
it. If you've got an advanced Saturn rocket,
so we do have to talk about this. And I think that if this affects in any way our sort of allocation of resource and all the rest, then it is a substantive question, and I think we've got to get it clarified. I'd like to have you tell me in a brief. You'd write me a letter, your views, because I'm not sure that we're far apart. I think all these programs which contribute to the lunar program are
if I go out and say that this is the number one priority and everything else must give way to it, I'm going to lose an important element of support for your program and for your administration by a large number of people. Well, particularly the brainy people in industry and in the universities who are looking at a solid base.
Yeah, but they're not going to pay the kind of money that, to get that position that we are, that we're spending it. I say the only reason you can justify spending this is tremendous. Why spend $5 or $6 billion a year, whatever, and all these other programs were starving to death?
Because in Berlin, you spent $6 billion a year adding to your military budget because the Russians acted the way they did. And I have some feeling that you might not have been as successful on Cuba if we hadn't flown John Glenn and demonstrated we had a real overall technical capability here.
We agree. That's why we want to put this program. That's the dramatic evidence. If you hadn't flown John Glenn, you could be preeminent in stage.
Well, I did put him on the moon. No, I showed him ability.
For the time, you did what we needed to do.
I
for
think
the
you're
time.
Right, Mr. President. You're not as far apart as this sounds because the budget that they have submitted, 464.
We're not far apart, I'm sure, and the budget, we may not be apart at all, but I do think at least we're in word somewhat apart. I'd like to get those words just because.
It's perfectly fine, I think.
How about you writing me and telling me how you,
all right.
What kind of, how you assign these priorities, and perhaps I could write to you and give you my
all right. But I do think it certainly doesn't hurt us to have this time article that shows we are really going ahead with the program. I don't think it hurts the agency. I don't think it hurts at all for you. Right. You have done several times to say that's number one. But I also think as administrator, I've got to take a little broader view of all the publics here, including those that vote for these appropriations in the Congress. I mean, I don't think we've got to be using the same word.
Could I say my view of this? I believe that we proceeded on Mercury and we're now proceeding on Gemini and Apollo as the number one program in NASA. It has a DX priority. Nothing else has a DX priority.
And recommended $4.7 billion funds for it for 1962.
At the same time, when you say something has a top priority, in my view, it doesn't mean that you completely emasculate everything else if you run into budget problems on the Apollo and the Gemini. Because you could very rapidly completely eliminate your meteorological program, your communication program, and so on. If you took that to too great an extreme.
And the advanced technology on which military powers will be based.
Yeah, Mr. President, this is the issue that flows home as an overrun of $500 million to reprogram $500 million for the rest of the space program would just throw the whole thing all away. And I think this is the worry. I mean, it's in Jim's mind about top priority.
I think in the letter you ought to mention how the other programs which the agency is carrying out tie into the lunar program, what their connection is.